Thanks to Jeff Chedid from NFL Network and NFL.com. Thank you to all of our guests so far. Sam Mellinger was on the show. Gary Lizek gave you the forecast. Jeff Chedid was just on. And now we can bounce back to some college basketball as we will have C.J. Moore on the show. You can follow him on Twitter, C.J. Moore Hoops, contributor at The Athletic and Bleacher Report. Hello, C.J., how are you?
Doing well. What's going on, fellas?
Doing very well. I said that earlier in the show, I said not only did Devontae Graham win the game with those two shots in the final minute, especially that circus shot that sealed the deal, which was an incredible individual play, but I thought he also, at least in my opinion, won Big 12 Player of the Year with those two shots. But if you love stats, I could certainly understand why someone would vote for Trae Young. What about you? He won the game. Did he win Conference Player of the Year, too?
Yeah, to me, winning matters. Excuse me. And I think this, you know, the run Oklahoma's been on, the kind of cold run they've been on, I think, and Trae struggling during that section of the schedule, I think that Devontae is probably passing by when, you know, Kansas could potentially win the league by a couple games. I think that I would lean towards him.
When you look into those types of things, and stats make they matter. I mean, I think we all look at the stats, but how do you incorporate defense into it as well? Because isn't that a major component to who should be a player of the year?
Yeah, it definitely matters, and I don't think Trae plays much. So.
Right.
I think it should be a factor. I think we probably, when we do these awards and, you know, all across college basketball, I think a lot of times when you do national stuff, you know, I think people just look at stats a little bit, probably too much, and don't focus enough on that end of the floor. And, you know, Devontae hasn't been a top-notch defender this year just because I think of the number of minutes he's played. He's been a little bit limited on that end, but he's still much better than Trae. And as of late, I feel like he's done a better job defensively.
So let's talk about now with Kansas hosting Texas tonight to win the title outright. Do you think they're solid as the number one seed in the NCAA tournament? Worst case scenario, I see. No matter what, I think they win the game tonight. But I mean, you could possibly see them losing at Oklahoma State. That's been a tough place to play. And anything we've
and
seen,
they're playing for their tournament life.
That's
too.
Exactly right. And anything can happen in the Big 12 tournament. We've seen that. So let's say worst case scenario, they win tonight, and then lose at Oklahoma State, and then have a quick exit in the Big 12 tournament. Would they still be a number one seed?
I don't know about that. I mean, that'd be two more losses, and that'd give them eight losses. I think they'd probably be in the conversation, but I think they'd probably drop to the two line, like if they drop two more. But right now, I'm with you. I think they're probably on the one line right now.
When you just look at them from the eyeball test, do you think they're one of the four best teams?
That's tough. Probably not, although I think they are trending in the right direction. And I think if you just take the last handful of games and you watch those, they look more like that kind of team. But if you take the whole, you know, you look at the whole picture and you look at the whole season, then, yeah, I mean, they haven't been – I don't think they've been one of the best four teams in America. But lately, I think they've played – they're up there, you know, top five at least. And the Big Ten's been so crummy. I mean, you look at the Big Ten right now, and Nebraska just finished 13-5 in the Big Ten. And every bracketologist you ask will say Nebraska's not in right now. So there's not a lot of chances for Big Ten teams to get good wins. And I think the two teams that would probably be in people's conversation, if you're talking about, you know, best four or five teams in America, would be Michigan State and Purdue. And that really hurts them playing in that league.
Do you think there's going to be any type of fallout from all the FBI reports and the Yahoo Sports reports that would lead to any team like Arizona not playing in the NCAA tournament?
I don't think so, because it seems like the NCAA, for the most part, is leaving it up to the schools right now. And what's happening is you're having these compliance people go to the parents and go to the kids and be like, hey, did you take any money? No, didn't take any money. Yeah. Okay, goodbye us. And that's basically how they're handling it right now. And I don't think there's enough time for the NCAA to find the stuff. I mean, they don't have the wiretaps, you know, and they don't have access to that. So unless the NCAA somehow gets their hands on you know, information that is damning for these players, then I think most of the penalties are going to be down the line where it comes back and they say, well, you lost all those games, but it's still going to happen. I mean, I think that the players are going to be able to play the way it's looking right now.
So you mentioned something I think is interesting about Nebraska and their record in Big Ten play and the fact that they're, by most bracketologists, still outside looking in. By the way, I'll use that to remind everybody, when you want to point to your school's conference record as to why they belong in the tournament, again, this NCAA selection committee doesn't care what your conference record is. They care about the overall body of work. But I saw Jerry Palm was asked a question about that on Twitter. And for reference, again, Nebraska's going to get a bye in the Big Ten tournament. They're going to be the 4 seed, I think, in the Big Ten tournament as of right now. And he said if they played on a neutral floor, they'd be underdogs against K-State, I think TCU. I think he even said Oklahoma State possibly they'd be an underdog against. Is that true? I mean, like, when you look at that, I mean, that would really be a damning indictment of the middle pack, of the middle part of the Big Ten, if that were the case, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that, like, I think Nebraska would be a favorite against at least Oklahoma State. K-State would probably, like, be close. K-State and TCU would probably be close to pick'ems. Probably K-State and TCU maybe a point or two, you know, favorites. But yeah, it's been a bad year for the Big Ten. Although, I mean, if you watch Nebraska and you watch them lately, how they've been playing, I mean, they've been playing pretty darn good. But again, they're playing a bunch of crummy teams in the Big Ten, and so they just haven't got a chance to, have those opportunities at wins that matter. And when you look at teams in the Big 12, they get those opportunities pretty much every single night they play. So that's one huge luxury that, you know, you look at K-State and everybody will point to their non-conference schedule, but they've gotten plenty of chances now to get good wins, and they have in the Big 12.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the other local schools. Kansas State, they lose to a struggling Oklahoma team. I know Jerry Palm still has them as a 10 seed after that loss, and they have a tough game at TCU, and then they'll host Baylor. How nervous should K-State fans be with them as a 10 seed right now, and a couple of tough games coming up in the Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, I think that they're in a decent spot. I mean, to me, they win one of these last two, they should feel pretty good. You get to, I know the, you know, we just said the record in the league doesn't matter, but 10-8 in the Big 12 will matter because those 10 wins are all, you know, for the most part, pretty good wins. So I think they get one or two here. They should feel pretty good about where they are, and I mean, if they get both of them, then they should feel really, really good. So I still like how K-State's been playing lately. I think they ran into an Oklahoma team that had Trae Young finally kind of get his mind right, and you know, when he hits the bombs that he hit, and he was rolling like he was rolling, that's really tough. I mean, it's tough to beat Oklahoma when the guy goes 6 of 9 from three. And that's not a typical 6 of 9 from three. I mean, the guy throws in, you know, shots from the logo. So, that's not a bad loss, because when you look at Oklahoma's resume, like, it's a pretty good resume. They're going to be a, you know, fairly, not a super high seed, but they're going to be a fairly high seed.
Okay, same question for Mizzou fans. They are a 10 seed in Jerry Palm's latest bracketology. They have the game at Vanderbilt coming up this week, and then the season finale hosting Arkansas, and then the SEC tournament. Also, with, once again, the Michael Porter Jr. situation looming, maybe he plays against Vanderbilt, but most people that think he's going to play think that he will likely make his debut or his return in that game against Arkansas, and then play in the SEC tournament, and if they make the NCAA tournament, what about Mizzou?
Well, the luxury that K-State has and Mizzou doesn't have is that these games down the stretch are any wins are more meaningful, because Vanderbilt's not a good win, and Arkansas is probably a decent win. It's more on the level of like a Big 12 win. So, I think these games are important for Missouri down the stretch, and if Porter does come back and they look good while he's playing, and then, you know, they look good in the SEC tournament, I think that could maybe move them up a seed line or so, just because I think the committee will kind of consider that, okay, they're a different team now with him. So, but I'm really interested to see. I'm with you. I think if he does come back and play, I think that March 3rd game, the Saturday, is the one that would make sense from a timing standpoint, just the fact that he needs some practices to get his feet under him, and he would have had, you know, at least a week there where he could have practiced, where that's probably the best-case scenario to kind of just get him a little bit of run.
So you do think, like, okay, let's just say they're on the bubble, and they're looking at four or five bubble teams for a spot or two, and Porter has come back, and they see he is going to be a factor. They're going to take that into consideration with the selection committee, right?
I don't know that if they're looking at their whole picture and whether they're in or not, they would, as much as it could maybe bump them up a seed line, because this is like, okay, this team is better than maybe what their record is. You know, it's hard for me to say because I'm not in that room, but you know, they played almost all of the season without arguably one of the best talents in college basketball, and they get him back and he looks like that, then yeah, I think maybe that could potentially, you know, bump them up maybe a seed line.
Once again, we're visiting with CJ Moore. Let's go back to the story that won't go away, the FBI investigation. You mentioned that right now the NCAA is leaving it in the hands of the schools to decide whether or not they're going to keep playing their players, and so far they've decided they are. What do you think is going to happen with Sean Miller in the near term and the long term?
I think it's going to be really, really tough for him to beat this and to be able to coach in college basketball again. When they say they've got him on the tape, you can't really undo that. So while I think the rules are outdated and all that jazz, the rules were in place, and he majorly, you know, either broke them or conspired to break them. And that's just going to be a tough rap for him to beat. I think you end up seeing Sean Miller just kind of go away for a few years and maybe, you know, resurface as like an NBA assistant coach here a couple of years from now. I mean, his reputation and everything, it's pretty much shot. I would be surprised if he coaches for Arizona again this year.
So you use that phrase we're hearing a lot lately, the rules are outdated. Look, if every major program in the country is going to be hit by this, does that make the NCAA say, look, the rules are outdated and we have to change all this? Or do you think they're going to individually come down one by one and slap each one of these major programs once all the stuff comes out? Or both?
I think because there's enough of it, it might finally get some change. Because what's the NCAA? I mean, honestly, what's the NCAA truly care about? The NCAA tournament, making money, right?
Yep.
And do they want to take all of these blue bloods and all of these big-time schools out of that? No, probably not. And my whole argument for, like, why they should consider change is, you know, they hold on to amateurism and you know, purity of the sport, stuff like that. Like, if kids are able to get representation from agents while they're in college, and they're able to have advertising opportunities where they get some money in their pocket, is that going to change the way we consume the game at all? Like, is it going to change the way you watch it because Michael Porter Jr. is doing a car advertisement in Columbia? No, like, it's not at all. And the NCAA can still make gobs and gobs of money. So, you know, I hope they take a real look at change. And I think the fact that so many big-name schools and big-name players and big-name coaches are involved in this, that they might finally take a real look at it.
All right, CJ, where are you going to be this week? What are your plans as far as coverage? You told us last week you're going to be working on those stories up in Omaha. And what else do you have coming up?
Yes, as soon as I get off the phone with you boys, I will be driving up to Omaha to interview Marcus Foster. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to be in Kansas, in Lawrence, for a couple of KU stories. So it's going to have, I think, a Devontae Graham feature coming out here pretty in the next few weeks. And that's kind of what I got on my plate this week.
Well, Dan, dude, good timing. Creighton coming off a really big win up there.
Yeah, that was a fun game. I actually rewatched it last night. There, Foster and Kyrie Thomas are probably the best, like, 2-3 wing combo in the country. So looking forward to seeing those guys play a lot. And the Marcus Foster story is a good one, how he's been able to redeem himself.
And we'll look forward to it, man. Thanks for the time.
All right, take care, guys.
Also, a very angry Frank Bowl in attendance for that.
Oh, boy.
Villanova lost to Creighton, so.
Just cussing people out left and right.
And that's before the game even started, which was crazy. Back after this on WHB.